Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, I think I ought to talk about thanks this morning. So I'm going to leave Matthew for a Sunday, and we're going to go back a few pages to the book of Leviticus. Find the book of Leviticus in your Bibles, would you please? That is in the First Testament. Chapter 7, Leviticus chapter 7. While you're turning there, let me give you some New Testament verses that will kind of get us rolling. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I urge then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious or worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Amen. Ephesians 5, 4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather, thanksgiving. Amen. Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 3, 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. I just wanted to make sure, you know, some of folks think that if you preach out of the Old Testament, you haven't told anything to the church. So I just wanted to make sure that you realize this morning that we have a New Testament mandate to be thankful. Just to make sure, would you turn to the person on each side of you and say, we are commanded by Scripture to be thankful. I want you to understand that thanks in the Old Testament is built around the sacrificial system that God gave to Moses and Moses gave to the people of Israel. So underscore the part that God gave the sacrificial system. That should say to us that if we want to understand the character, the nature, and the desire, if you will, of God, that we can study these things from the Old Testament, even though the sacrificial system was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is still the heartbeat of God. We need to understand that. The nature of the sacrifices that were given to Moses to give to the people displayed and put on display the heartbeat, the desire of God for His people. If I had time this morning, I could really elaborate on that, but I'm going to have to leave it where it's at and we'll come back to it another time. But I want you to understand this. When I talk to you about the thanks offering, it may be called fellowship offering in some of your Bibles, but it is the thank offering. The principles that are involved here are just as much for us as they were for Israel. My Bible says, I am God, I change not. Okay? So maybe you have already ripped out the First Testament as though you didn't need it in your Bibles, but I will tell you this morning, you will learn a lot about God and how He desires and thinks and feels and wants His people to act by studying this Old Testament. And then make the application under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get a grand, fulfilling life. Amen. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want us to learn from the thank offering some principles that I think we can carry with us. The thank offering, also called the peace offering, fellowship offering, as I mentioned a moment ago, first of all, it is voluntary. Now, there are many of the sacrifices, there are many of the things that God mandated for the people, but the thank offering, He did not mandate. He simply made it available for them. That as they found themselves to be thankful, that they could come and give this expression. But I want you to note, He wasn't careless, but rather He was careful in how they were to bring that offering. That's important. Now, yes, He allowed them the privilege of deciding whether they would bring it or not. But if you're going to bring it, then you need to bring it according to particular standards that I have set. And the first was that the animal that was offered had to be without defect or blemish. He's saying, come on now, don't bring to my altar the leftover of the flock. Don't go out and find the ugliest, crippled, blind, bruised, broken animal and say, oh, I can't really use this one, so I'll give this one to God. Huh? I've always been amazed. Let me just bring this up to date for a moment. I've always been amazed. Sometimes, you know, if you start collecting groceries to give out to people and you get the items that are either almost expired or have the date's already passed, or the can that's dented beyond recognition, or the one without labels. I'm not saying this church does that. I've just seen that. There's a lesson right here in the very beginning. We should realize when we're bringing a thank offering, when we're blessing, we're bringing a peace offering, we need to bring the best of the flock. Amen. Come on, church. It won't hurt. I mean, it's not going to cost you any more to say amen to the things that are true, okay? So I just want you to realize you can throw out an amen and we won't charge you any more. All right, just so you know. The third thing, the offering was presented at the door of the temple. In other words, before they came into worship, it was for them to bring thanks first. Thanks would precede, if you will, their entrance to come in and worship. With the animal sacrifice, we'll talk a little bit more about the animal sacrifice in a minute, but an offering of meal was presented. There were four types. We're not going to linger on this, but I want you to see this. They were to give one unleavened cake mingled with oil, one unleavened cake anointed with oil, one cake of fine flour oil fried like a pancake, and then cakes of leavened bread. Now, presumably, and we'll talk a little bit more about this as I go on through, but there was a meal, if you will, that was being prepared here. And he said then, out of this meal, I want you to bring, if you're going to bring a thank offering, not only do you bring that lamb or that goat, but I want you to bring one cake unleavened with oil, one cake with anointing oil, one cake of flour, oil, fried like a pancake, and then unlimited number of cakes of leavened bread. Okay? How many are still with me? I know you get in this Old Testament stuff. It really gets... There were three portions, and it's the portioning that I would like to illuminate today and let us kind of get a hold of quickly. The first portion found here in the 7th chapter, the beginning at the 11th verse. These are the regulation for the fellowship offering anyone may present to the Lord. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast, with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, thick loaves of the finest flour well kneaded with oil mixed in, along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving. They are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. They are to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who splashes the blood of the fellowship offering against the altar. The meat of their fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning. Lord, would you pour into us today your Holy Spirit? That will be enough. If your Spirit is in us, speaking in us, moving in us, that will be enough. And we will be filled with thanks in this house. Praise your holy name. Let me tell you about this first portion. The first portion of the sacrifice of thanksgiving was the portion that was consumed on the altar. In verse number 3, it says, of chapter 7, it says, a sacrifice made to the Lord by fire. It is a gift of surrender. It is a consumed portion. In other words, the priests, the Levites, or the people had no benefit. It was put onto the altar and completely consumed. It was a gift of commitment, a commitment of thanks unto the Lord. In other words, they were making, if you will, a sacrifice. Now, it was not a blood sacrifice for their sins, but rather it was for their thanks. So if they had a child born and they were thankful, often they would bring a thank offering. If something happened grand in their life, they would bring a thank offering. Or perhaps on a given day, they were just very thankful for their family and for friends and for the privilege of worshiping. And they would say, you know what? I need to do something very specific here rather than just throw it out into the air that I'm thankful. I'm going to give a thank offering. And when they did, it was brought to the temple. What was offered? All the fat that covers the inner parts or is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the covering of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys. The blood is to be drained from the animal and the blood sprinkled against the sides of the altar. Now, how was it offered? Get this picture. The person bringing the sacrifice will come to the entrance of the tent of meeting or to the temple. They were to place their hand upon the head of that animal and then take a knife and cut its throat. The bleeding process would begin at that point, and the Levites then would step in and would fillet that animal in their presence. Because there are three portions to this offering, and they would take the liver, they would take all the fat, the kidneys, basically things that we would throw away. Come on. I don't know, maybe some of you guys just love to grab the heart and eat it. I don't know. But they would take these portions. Again, let me give you the portions. All the fat that covers the inner parts, what is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, the covering of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys. These were all placed on the fire and were consumed before the Lord. The blood of the animal was then taken and drained out, but as it was draining out, the priest would take a hyssop or some kind of a thing and would gather up some of the blood and sprinkle it against all four sides of the altar. Christ is our sin offering. Thank you, Lord. You might want to just stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for us this morning. Praise your holy name. We bring, in thanksgiving, can I say it in this way? The fatty portions of our lives. And I'm not talking about the stuff that's running over our belts today. I'm talking about the stuff that is not needed. Talking about the things that weigh us down. New Testament, it says, lay aside every weight that slows us down in our spiritual lives. In thanksgiving, It is very appropriate for us to come and say, Lord, there are things in my life that should not be there. They're just weighing me down. I'm carrying them. They're slowing me down in my race with you. And I place them upon the altar. Consume them, Lord, that I would not pick them back up again. Hello? Maybe you need for me to address them more specific. How about things like worry and fear? And then there's worry. And then there's fear. And then sometimes there's fear. And then there's worry. And then, of course, if there are sins that we've grown used to in our lives. Hello? And so then there are sins, and then there's worry, and then there's fear. You get all those? That's just a few, you know, but you know what they are. You know what's going on in your life. Things that are slowing you down in your pursuit of the Lord and of His kingdom. Those are the things that when you're bringing a thank offering to the Lord, that you place before Him and you step back and you say, God, consume those things so that they're no longer part of my life. God help us, it would be so. This portion of the sacrifice, it's praise and thanks to the Lord. It's just amazing to me. It says it is an aroma pleasing to the Lord. When He smells the fat burning, when he sees us lay down these fatty portions of our lives that we do not need and that are slowing us down, the Father is he's glorified, He's exalted, He accepts them and says, oh, it smells good. Isn't that amazing? The things that you and I need to get rid of when we lay them down before the Lord and they are consumed by the fire of His judgment, He is pleased. Oh, well, you'll get it. The second portion is this. Oh, I like this. This is the portion that was waved before the Lord. It's called a contribution to the Lord. Now, you know, this fat was only sweet smelling because it's consumed on the altar. And because we have turned loose of it, okay? This next portion is a contribution to the Lord. He says, one of each kind of cake, the breast and the right shoulder, these are heaved, sometimes called the wave offering. But as a matter of fact, what they did was that the Levites, after they had filleted this animal, they would bring these two portions back to the giver, who would hold them in their hands like this. And then the priest would come and place his hands underneath their hands. And then together, they would move back and forth like this until that individual pulled their hands out from underneath that sacrifice and left them in the hands of that priest. And it's called a contribution unto the Lord. But this movement that they made, this passing, if you will, of this sacrifice from their life into the priest's hands was a contribution to the Lord. From a Christian perspective, we bring the best of our lives to the Lord as an offering of thanks. We place the fat on the altar to be consumed by fire. And we offer the best of our lives in continual praise and worship to Him. So it would happen like this. We come and we say to the Lord, Lord, take these things, the fear, the worry, the sin, all these things that are slowing me down in my life, and may they be consumed by Your judgment. Consumed, never to be back again. And then we take the best of our lives, the shoulder, the loin, the best of the best, and we place it and hold it out for the Lord to take and to use. In other words, we bless Him with the best of our lives. You see, once again, you know,
I don't know how many times that I've heard people say, I don't have time. I would love to serve the Lord, but I don't have time. You've got it backwards. Everything about the Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. And folk, when we come and we say, oh, I'm so thankful to you, Lord, but now you'll get the last and whatever's left. We've got it backwards. God is blessed when we bring the best. When we say, you know what, the sweetest time, the best time, the most alert time that I have in my day, I'm going to bring to you. You know, I'm going to lay the strongest part of my life down before you and let you use that, God. I'm going to take the talents that you have given me to earn my living and care for my family, and I'm going to bring them into the house of the Lord, and I'm going to offer them to you as a thank offering. I'm going to present them to you and say, Lord, here's my strength. Here's my ability. I'm a mechanic. I can fix things. Use me. Here I'm a carpenter. I can do things. Fix me. Use me. Use me. Use me. I have talents. I have ability. I have the ability to heal and to help in the healing that you want to do for mankind. I'm going to bring this into the house of the Lord, and I'm going to pass it over. You know, see, I love the fact that it is passed to the priest. It became the priest's portion. Because we who do the work of the ministry and who minister to the church, we stand in that office. Now, yes, we are all priests unto the Lord. But in this office, okay, we have this beautiful opportunity to receive the sacrifices, the best of individuals, and to put them into use. The priest put them into use because he put them on his table and he fed his family with them. Okay? So that's what they ate. That's how they lived. But here in the body of Christ, as you offer the best of your life, oh, I can't tell you. You want to see me do a backflip? You'd like to see that, wouldn't you? You may see it one of these days right off of this thing. But if you want to see me really get excited, come and bring an offering, not to me, but to the Lord, of the best of who you are. And just say, Pastor, I'm so thankful for what God has done. Here's some of my time. Here's some of my ability. See if we can't use this in the body of Christ to glorify God. I'm giving it away, giving it to God. Help me to put this into use. Can you imagine? Oh, just think with me for a minute, of what it would be like if every believer would bring thank offerings to the Lord in this way. Think of how powerful the church would be if we were bringing the very best, the best of the best of our lives and placing them down and saying, here, I want to give that, I want to give this for God because I appreciate what He has done in my life. I think you have to agree with me that it makes just the words, oh, thank you, God, for all the blessings of my life. It makes that seem pretty pitiful, doesn't it? You say, boy, I'm sure glad I wasn't in Israel during that time. That would have really been something. It would have been. It would have been a sacrifice of praise. It would have been a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And you know what? As I see it in the Bible, that's the way that thanks needs to come. We used to sing a song, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. But you know what? All too often, all that meant was just a bunch of words. I think we need to learn from the sacrificial system. There's a little more to it than that. Bring the fat and place it on the altar and say, Lord, consume it and get rid of it. And then, Lord, here's the best of what is left over. You take it and you use it. And then can I tell you about the third portion? How many want to hear about the third portion? The third portion was given back to the people. So, in other words, the majority portion, without the fat, without the right shoulder, but it was the rest of it was given back to the person to consume with their family and their friends and with the Levites who served in the temple. That was those guys that cut up the sacrifice. So in other words, you know what they said? They said, when you sit down to your meal, invite a Levite over. I'm not a priest. I'm not asking to come to your house. No. The priests, they got that portion that was committed to the Lord, and they went and had that with their family. But it says the Levites, those were the ones who did all the work. They were the ones that cut up the animals and carried off the blood and had to get rid of all the flesh and the junk that was left over and all the mess, and they cleaned up the temple and all of those things. And he said, look, he said, when you bring your thank offering, he said, you take the rest of it and I want you to enjoy it with your family. But he said, when you do, why don't you invite a Levite over? Why don't you invite one of those who have done so much to help you and your family in a sacrificial life? Pretty cool, huh? He said, now when you offer it, he says, eat it all. Consume it all. This was a thank offering. But he said, don't leave any of it till the next morning. So in other words, if you brought a lamb, you and your family wasn't all that big, then you wanted to be sure and invite plenty of people in to make sure that it was all eaten and completely consumed. And we wonder why. Why should it all be consumed? Because the thank offering was for a specific moment in time. It wasn't like saying, okay, we're going to stretch this out over a couple of weeks. No, if you wanted a thank offering for tomorrow, you brought another sacrifice of thanks. So, well, yeah, I came to church last Sunday and I gave thanks, so I guess that'll be plenty. We can just eat come this Thursday. Huh? I'm not trying to make this hard. I'm trying to make it relevant. We need to understand, folks, our God is, what do we say, a consuming fire. Our God is an awesome God. And if you and I want to bring thanks to Him, He has things in mind. And along with our desire to thank Him, we need to be desirous that the fat of our lives, the sin, the things that are slowing us down, that we would place them on the altar and let His judgment consume them and they would be gone from our lives. We need to be sensitive that He wants the best part to be committed to Him. And when we have given Him the best of our lives, then He will give back to us a communal meal. In other words, His blessings. Ever experienced God's blessing? Anybody in here? I mean, have you actually seen God's blessing? How many have? I just want to see. You have actually witnessed in your life God's blessing. Okay, thank you. How many would like for it to happen again? One of the neat things about this thank offering is that it happens every time you bring thanks. When you bring thanks according to God's plan, then blessings flow behind. So, I mean, in fact, it's hard to see that those people actually sacrificed anything. Because they got the most out of that, but God was blessed, and they were freed. Hallelujah. You want to know the freedom of the Lord? You want to know the blessings of the Lord? You want to know the power of the Lord in your life? Learn how to sacrifice praise unto the Lord. Amen. I'm done. That wasn't too painful, was it? We're going to engage a little bit in our altar time today. You can see that this is communion. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I want to
give you an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. Now, only you know about the fat. We're going to pray in a couple of moments as we hold the elements in our hands. And it's up to you to identify the fat portions, the sin, the stuff that's slowing you down, stuff that's holding you back, to identify those things before the Lord and place them before the Lord and let His sacrifice cover over them and consume them. Now that doesn't mean that when you walk out those back doors that you turn around and pick them back up again. That means you lay them down to be done with them. Amen? As far as the commitment portion, only you can do that. You know the best of your life. To offer that to the Lord, that's in your hands. But I want to just talk to you about that communal portion this morning. You folks were so kind to Pastor Steve and I at Ministers... I think what's called that one, Pastor Appreciation in the month of October. I think I got about 10 cards, beautiful with things inside of them and beautiful words and, you know, a blessing. So he and I are taken care of. But you know, we have Levites in this church, and I want to bless them. We have three gals who work diligently on your behalf continually. And so I'm going to say this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give in love and in thanks. And the offering is going to go to our Levites. So we're going to share a communal portion with them this morning. Here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to invite you to stand with me right now, please. Our elders are coming, and they're going to assist me. Two of our elders are coming today. They're coming down the center aisle. Aren't these guys handsome? You know, some, I've never had elders in churches that I've pastored in the last 43 years, but the Lord laid this upon my heart that we would have elders. And I'm very thankful for these guys. Their willingness to be at these altars every single Sunday and to minister to people who come forward with all kinds of needs. I really appreciate them. Do you appreciate our elders? Amen. I do wish that some of them were better looking, but I mean, I won't point to anybody in particular, but no, what a blessing, what a blessing. So they're going to help me serve this morning. But as you come, I would invite you to bring some thank offering with you. Again, the first two portions, that's going to be between you and the Lord as we stand and take communion. But this portion, you share with the Levites. And I believe that this is God ordained. He's the one who put it on my heart, so we're doing it. You get to decide whether you'll participate. You say, well, I didn't come prepared for this, Pastor. Oh, I have a plan. In the seat in front of you, there is an offering envelope. And you can write your name on that, and you can kind of make a little pledge of what you would like to give. And then you can bring it the next time you're here. So it's as easy as that. Amen? How many are okay with this? Well, I guess if you're not, you can get mad at me and spit at me. I don't know. I think it's biblical. I think it's a way, and if you'll appreciate this, this is a way for us to get thanks beyond words. And we need that. We need to reckon with thanksgiving beyond the words that we say. It needs to cost us something.
Remember when David had disobeyed the Lord and counted Israel? Some of you know that passage. And the plague of the Lord came to Jerusalem. The angel was stopped at the threshing floor of Araunah, which actually was the place where the temple was built. But right there on that spot, David went to Araunah and said, I'm going to buy your field. Araunah said, no, let me give you the field. David said, I will not offer to the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Folk, we need to learn that. Say, oh, I'm going to bring the sacrifice of praise. What, you're going to lift up your hands? What a big sacrifice. Oh, I'm going to say some things too, really out loud. God should really be thankful. Come on. We need David's thought in us. I will not offer anything that costs me nothing. Now, I'm not talking about the money that you will give here. I'm talking about the first two portions. Look in your heart. Look in your life. Are there things there that are slowing you down? Are there things there that should be used of the Lord? Maybe it's time. I mean, how much worse does the world need to get before the church will step up? Come on. How many of you believe the world's getting pretty bad? Even things in our own country are starting to turn pretty sour. Well, then that means that the church needs to be at its best. It's time that the shoulder get into it, and the best of the best.